5 p.m. Wednesday, coming out of this cold winter. I don't know.
Are we coming out of it?
I'm being optimistic.
Yeah.
But looking forward to spring very much. And now that February is like, you know, pretty much we're in the middle of February, I'm really beginning to imagine a time when I can go outside without a winter jacket on. It's going to be nice. Meanwhile, though, it's beginning to get a little bit lighter. So that's another hint. And in fact, we're doing our show now at 5 o'clock, and there's actually, you know, you can still see across the street.
Sure.
So it's all a good sign. So time for American Ed Radio on 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. With me, lovely wife, co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well. We're here every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. Of course, on Wednesdays, we have been working our way through two lists, the top 500 of the top 40 and the alternative top 40. The alternative top 40 has been the baby that kicked this whole thing off, and that's where we're going to be today. We've started this whole thing off in January of 1964, and we have now worked our way up until to February of 1972. And this is album number 106 in our chronological list. So we've played 105 alternative top 40 albums up until this point. Not so shabby. We played almost twice that many of hit albums, though. It'll level out as we move along. Anyway, this one is what you could call a deep cut album, if there's such a thing, an album full of deep cuts. It never rose any higher than number 113 on the Billboard charts. So it's certainly what you would call, you know, an alternative album in a lot of ways. The name of the record is Into the Purple Valley, and the artist is Ry Cooder. This is his second album, and it is the album where I realized that I'm totally enamored with the man. And there's a lot to understand about why I think Ry Cooder is very important, especially in terms of American culture. I mean, let's talk about this just for a few minutes, if you don't mind my getting off on a tangent. I mean, isn't it a shame that America needed to be reintroduced to its own culture? I mean, from the end of World War I until the onset of the 60s, America moved as if it had no past, focusing so intensely ahead on the promise of its future that our cultural past ceased to have much significance. Ring out the old, ring in the new. That's pretty much the way that America worked. Now, the folk movement that came about in the early 60s may have been a little bit flaky at times, but it did more than anything else I can think of to force America to acknowledge the cultural legacy of our country. Were it not for the folkies and the historians that supported them, we may never have learned about America's deep blues or the rich outpouring of traditional music that resided in the outlying areas of our cities.
Right.
If not for the purists and the historians, we might have chosen to ignore something as ephemeral as, quote, old-time music, unquote. Such a fate would have been a shame, if not criminally ignorant. We are the country that spawned the blues, jazz, rhythm and blues, R&B, country western, and rock and roll. Imagine that.
Yeah, I know. And people would choose to forget it.
Right? I mean, all of these styles are interrelated. And that interrelationship predates the recorded era that started in 1900. Thank God that there were musicians serious enough to dig into our past and revitalize it for the rest of us.
Thank you.
As a young man, Ry Cooder played guitar in a West Coast band called the Rising Suns, which featured Taj Mahal as the band's frontman. After a while, Cooder left the band and started a solo career, doing some brilliant session work for just about anybody who needed him. He's all over the place in the early 70s.
He's like the Jimmy Page of
of the West Coast, right. He was obsessed with arcane Americana and became something of an expert on the rich history of the Americas in a musical sense.
Cool.
Back then, A hippie mentality had infiltrated the record industry, and Warner Brothers signed Cooter more for his natural talent than for his sales appeal. His first solo album was chock full of forgotten arcana, establishing Cooter as an eccentric who offered little appeal, if any, to mainstream listeners. It's still a golden album, though, if you get into
Rye. The cover works really cool, too.
Oh, that's this album. I'm talking about the first album this point. Besides its esoteric nature, the album was also a bit uneven in its presentation, and it sold miserably.
Aww.
But his second album, Into the Purple Valley, which is what we're featuring here,
yes,
was equally esoteric and eclectic, but the production was sharper, and the songs were livelier. Song for song, it is a virtual primer for genuine Americana.
Cool.
Old R&B tunes sit next to Trinidadian calypso songs with gunfighter ballads and vintage Delta blues, all vying for attention while blending comfortably with one another. Most of the songs on Into the Purple Valley were headed for certain extinction. FDR in Trinidad is a lyrical timepiece reinvented by Cooter, who replaced the tin pan drums with acoustic guitars. How Can You Keep On Moving likely would have died with the Dust Bowl era. Money Honey was an old Drifters tune sung by Clyde McFadder. Yeah, I swear to God, I can hear crickets when I mention McFadder's name to anybody under 50, but he's worth looking up. But Cooter completely, radically rearranged the song with a funky beat and a modified melody line. Whatever the original source, Cooter's mastery of stringed instruments allows him to recreate the music of a bygone era by presenting it as something fresh with its own unique personality. Denomination Blues, Taxes on the Farmer, Feed Us All, and How Can You Keep On Moving are all deadly serious subjects. But Cooter breathes life into each performance by singing with humor and irony without sparing any of the pathos. America is a big country with an extraordinary cultural history, and thanks in large part to Rye Cooter, segments that may have been lost are still alive and well. That's the reason I love this album so much, and I hope that you have an hour to spend with us as we work our way through this incredibly ingenious album entitled Into the Purple Valley. Here is the opening track called How Can You Keep On Moving Unless You Migrate Too, on American at Radio 90.3 WHPC.
How can you keep on moving unless you migrate too? They tell you to keep on moving, but migrate you must not do. The only reason for moving and the reason why I roam, to move to a new location and find myself a home. I can't go back to the homestead, the shack no longer stands. They said I wasn't needed, had no claim to the land. They said, come on, get moving, it's the only thing for you. But how can you keep moving unless you migrate too? Your little tent along the broad highway. The Board of Sanitation says, sorry, you can't stay. Come on, come on, get moving. It's the everlasting cry. Can't stay, can't go back, can't migrate. So where in the hell am I? How can you keep on moving unless you migrate too? They tell you to keep on moving. To a new
Now, Heidi, when that song was originally recorded, it was probably as serious as a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And yet, you know, Ry Cooder has a way of doing it. And like I said, you know, the pathos is still there. But there's also this sense of, like, there's a little bit of a sense. He gets that the songwriter is clever. And he plays up how, you know, the cleverness of the writing. How can you keep moving unless you migrate too? You know, you can't stay home, you can't leave, and you can't migrate. So where in the hell am I? The song was written by a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was written by Sis Cunningham. She was an Oklahoma woman.
Yeah, who, it sounds like a Dust Bowl era song.
Yeah, but she was also one of the founding editors of Broadside magazine. So she was a big part of the folk movement when it finally hit. Obviously, she was very political, you know, her family, you know, communist, basically, at a time you can understand why. I mean, it was at a time when that wasn't a dirty word. It was way before the 50s,
right,
when in the 20s, admitting you were a communist wasn't criminal at all. Socialist, communist, it was like actually something that was fairly common, especially if you were in a situation where you were going to be getting taken over by banks and people were losing their houses to big business. Things like socialism and communism seemed like ideas to pretty much help. It seemed like American ideas.
Right. Ideas to help the average man.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really meant to be anti-American at all. It was meant to basically redefine America as something where we could actually, if we all got together, I mean, concepts like building roads, building bridges, having libraries. These are all socialist things that did take. And this was at a time when those things really weren't even in existence yet. So the idea was not only powerful, but logical in its time. So if you hear me saying, oh, well, she was a socialist or a communist. I mean, I know a lot of people recoil when they hear that in the present time, but it's ridiculous to think that, because this was 100 years ago when that type of thinking really mattered.
It was progressive.
It was really, in some ways, it was life or death. You know, if you were from Oklahoma and the Dust Bowl hit, you know, you think that Woody Guthrie was a capitalist?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, think about it. It's the exact same thing. So that's where Sis Cunningham is coming from, and quite literally where she's coming from.
Right.
Same basic, you know, layout land as Woody Guthrie. And that's where that song sits in history. And it was Ry Cooder. Like I said, I don't think I would have heard that song in a million years if it didn't exist on that album. And I'm just glad that he can do it in a way that helps to make me smile. This next song is another. It's always been credited to nobody in particular, really. The song is considered to be a song that is part of the, what is it called when it doesn't have a writer? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Traditional. Like, I'll just say, let's say, just say traditional.
Thank you.
But as it turns out, the song actually has a history where it was mostly penned by Woody Guthrie.
Huh.
And you could call it a gunfighter ballad or hero song. It's called Billy the Kid. And this one is one that you may know, but this is, of course, in Rye's hands, everything is unique and wonderful. So here's Ry Cooder's version of Billy the Kid from the album Into the Purple Valley on American Net Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
I'll sing you the record of days that he did way out in New Mexico a long time ago, when a man's only friend was his own 44. Now when Billy the Kid was a very young lad in old Silver City, he went to the bed way out west with a knife in his hand. At the age of 12 years, he killed his first man. Now fair Mexican maids play guitars and sing songs about Billy, their boy bandit king. Before his young manhood had reached its setting, he'd a notch on his pistol for 21 men.
Now, that's a perfect depiction of Ry Cooder's talent as a roots guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
His slide and the mandolin, everything. I mean, it's just, he's just, there's something that's, was, I mean, he's doing this in 1972. At this point in time, he's playing on records by Little Feat. He's playing on records by Randy Newman. The other loser artists on Warner Brothers Records, basically, you know, all the other artists that weren't selling were all basically, you know, pulling together, but they were making fantastic music together. That was the beautiful thing about that label in that time, is that they were really way more concerned with like doing something incredibly cool. Yeah. And it does have integrity. If you were coming out of the 60s, nothing was cooler than the Warner Brothers label, because they had these incredibly talented people doing amazing things. Now, this next song that I'm going to play, you probably know it. It's called Money Honey, and it was made popular by the Drifters. Like I said, this is a song Clyde McFatter and the Drifters made popular. But the thing about this song that is probably has a lot to do with why Ry Cooder chose to do it, besides the fact that it's a great song. I mean, because it comes from the 50s. It's almost like new by Ry Cooder standards. you know? But it's written by Jesse Stone. And if you ever want to, like, watch a movie, if there is one, or read a book about a biography, they ought to make one, write a book or make a movie about Jesse Stone. This is the guy that, okay, besides writing under his own name, because the song that we're going to play right now is Money Honey. Like I said, that's the Drifter song. But he also is responsible, for example, for a song like Shake, Rattle, and Roll. But he wrote it under a different name. He used the name Calhoun when he wrote that. So nobody gives him credit for that. It's just, this is a guy that was, his grandparents were slaves in Tennessee. He was raised in a minstrel show. He, as a child, he was part of a trained dog act.
What?
I mean, it's. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Then he like basically ends up in Harlem in the 30s. Duke Ellington is totally impressed with him, you know, and puts him up for free in his apartment for 4 months.
Wow.
While he finds his own, you know, basically gets his act together. He ends up becoming a songwriter and arranger for Chick Webb's band, Chick Webb, which is the band that basically starred so many singers, including Duke Ellington and the singer, the girl with who scats.
Ella
Fitzgerald. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So all of that, this is where Jesse Stone is at that point in time. And eventually he ends up working with Louis Jordan. He goes to Atlantic Records. Now, Atlantic Records is really, if you think, what is Atlantic Records? It's an R&B label, right?
Oh, okay.
It's a label that was intended for a black audience. I mean, it was that right on up until Led Zeppelin signed in 1968. So that gave them 20 years of doing pretty much nothing but R&B. Jesse Stone was the first black man hired by Atlantic Records. So I look through his life and I'm like, this is just incredible to be, you're really the first. So now there he is and the Drifters are an Atlantic band and he's writing for the Drifters, which explains why Money Honey would become a song released by Clyde McFatter and the Drifters. But what's not understood is that he was there long before the Drifters were even hired. He was on the payroll, the first black man on Atlantic's payroll. So on American at Radio 90.3 WHBC, Ry Cooter doing in my opinion, astounding rewrite, amazingly cool version of Money Honey.
And now I know Sunday shines.
great version, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it totally contemporizes a 50s song. It takes out, you know, all the 50s swing beat and it becomes a little bit more funky and Rise Hands. And it's awesome. Now, this next song is a Calypso song written by a guy named Fritz McLean, performed by an artist named Attila the Hun originally. Now, this was written in 1936 to commemorate when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was going to visit Trinidad. It was a big deal. So, of course, being a Calypso song, the whole thing was basically written with accompaniment by steel drums. So now imagine like that being replaced by steel guitar. That's exactly what Rye does. And very few other people, I don't know if anybody else, no, nobody else does it with the same aplomb as Rye Cooter. On American Radio 90.3 WHPC, enjoy FDR in Trinidad.
The land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. When Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. His visit to their island is bound to be an epoch in local history, definitely marking a new era, keeping Trinidad in America. This great man jubilation was evinced by the entire population. Friendship for the USA was shown, and from his house the stars and the stripes were flown. For the state threw open the gates to the president of these United States. In fact, everybody was glad to welcome Roosevelt to Trinidad. Personality and his wonderful urbanity. We were struck by his modest style and was intrigued by the famous Roosevelt smile. No wonder everybody was glad to welcome Roosevelt to Trinidad. Now we understand that the president had just been on a visit to Brazil and the Argentine. Mr. Cordell Hull in attendance, they took part in a peace conference to stop war and atrocity and make the world safe for democracy, the greatest event in the century in the interest of suffering humanity.
Talk about eclectic. We go from FDR in Trinidad to Teardrops Will Fall, both from the album Into the Purple Valley by Rye Cooter. Now, I was talking about how Rye was so good at performing a service of, like, I could say salvaging, but that's not a strong enough word. Like, literally saving from death some amazingly fabulous songs.
And he's always done that throughout his career.
Yeah. And
I mean, fast forward to Buena Vista Social Club, which was a huge hit for him.
Right. How many people did he turn on with that, you know, to Cuban music? Me, for one.
Yeah.
And, but here, he finds a song that was forgotten for, at this point in time, 60 years, 50 or 60 years. Now it's almost 100 years. And the only reason we know it really is because Rye Cooter covered it. It's kind of simple. It was written by Washington Phillips in 1927, promptly forgotten until Sister Rosetta Tharpe heard a version of it. And a decade later, she did a version of it that was so little known about it that she gave it the wrong title. She called it That's All. It's called Denomination Blues. It's essentially about a man who is trying to find a way to express his faith. And he did jump to church to church. And the song even has the lyric, you know, the man, you can tell the man who jumps from church to church, you know that the conversion don't amount to much, and that's all. I tell you, that's all. But you better have Jesus. I tell you, that's all. This song will crack you up in about 100 ways if you listen. It's fantastic. It's called Denomination Blues from Into the Purple Valley on American at Radio 90.3 WHPC.
It's a natural fact, every man don't understand the Bible alike, and that's all. I'll tell you, that's all. But you better have Jesus now. I'll tell you, that's all. Well, the denominations have no right to fight, they ought to go on and treat each other right, and that's all. I'll tell you, that's all. Better have Jesus, huh? I tell you, that's all. Name, and that's all. I'll tell you, that's all. church to church, you can bet the conversion don't amount to much, and that's all. I'll tell you that's all. Cause you better have Jesus, I'll tell you that's all. Now you can go to your college, you can go to your school. If you ain't got Jesus, you're an educated fool, and that's all. I'll tell you that's all. Cause you better have Jesus now, I'll tell you that's all.
Part of the beauty of that is him hiring traditional musicians to just play it with him. And it just adds to the charm.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's just stunning. And that's only side one. So let's keep moving. The next two are maybe a bit more obvious selections. Both of them fabulous. First up is On a Monday, a Lead Belly song. And that's followed by his version of Johnny Cash's first single, Hey Porter. So we'll play them back to back on American Radio 90.3 WHPC from the album Into the Purple Valley by Rye Cooter.
But it wouldn't go my bail. Yellow.
getting in line outside. This old train is a puffing smoke, and I have to strain my eyes. Hey, port. Hey, port. Please open up the door.
Now, the thing that makes that stunning to me, Hey Porter, mm-hmm. is he makes the song sound like it's from the 30s, you know?
Sure.
And it's a Johnny Cash song. Johnny Cash, it's the first song that Johnny Cash released on Sun Records with the Tennessee 2. That was his first single with Luther Perkins. And yet, you know, he reinvents it as a deep blues. And that's just gorgeous. It's just such an amazingly intelligent thing to do. Man, I could talk about this album in so many ways. I almost drive myself crazy thinking about it. Joseph Spence is the writer for this next song. He's from the Bahamas. One of those guys that wasn't even discovered until the late 50s. Nobody really even heard him until the mid 60s. And guitar player, gospel. When people heard him, they thought that there were two people sitting on a porch, guitar dueling back and forth.
Right.
And it was all just Joseph Spence. So, of course, this is the type of thing that Ry Cooder would jump on because he's obviously one of the most talented guitar players of his age. And here he is performing Great Dream of Heaven by Joseph Spence on American Radio, 90.3 WHPC. Thank you.
spring and winter, through summer and through fall. But the mortgage worked the hardest and the steadiest of us all. It worked on nights and Sunday, it worked each holiday. Settled down among us and it never went away. The farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down. The farmer is the man who feeds us all. If you only look and see, I know you will agree that the farmer is the man who feeds us all.
Further reading, turns out Taxes on the Farmer Feed Us All is by Fiddlin' John Carson.
Wow, you're good. This is good. This helps me. Thank you, baby. That's great. I would have like thought, oh, it's like a Sis Cunningham sort of a song because it's like in the same sort of a framework as where we started. But we got to go. And we end with a Woody Guthrie song, which is kind of perfect considering. I hope you enjoyed the album. I hope you enjoyed the hour. And thank you for staying with us. And we're going to end this show dedicated to the album Into the Purple Valley by Ry Cooder with a Woody Guthrie song called Vigilante Man on American Radio 90.3 WHBC. We love you. Thanks, everybody. See you on Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you seen that vigilante man? gentleman, amen. I've been hearing his name all over the land. Rainy nights down in the engine house, sleeping just as still as a mouse. Man, come along, chase the sound in the rain. Was that a vigilante man?
Man, I've been hearing his name.